Welcome everyone to the Business of Sport. My name is Ahmed Al-Houli, and would you guys believe it? It's episode 40 already. Mr. Robbie L, how are you, buddy? How's things?
I'm good, my friend. Hard to believe we're coming down to the end of September and our 40th episode. I mean, you're aging me, my friend. I mean, putting up those big numbers.
We're definitely putting in a lot of hard work. I mean,
there you go.
We started this year with a thought, and now we're 40 episodes in, and it's game on.
That's the name of the game.
Just like the weekend or the week that passed us in the world of sport, lots of games, lots of entertainment, lots of celebrities. It's all definitely happening. We had the Chiefs and Bears fight it out. Was the most watched NFL game on any network this week. It averaged 24.3 million viewers on Fox. Now,
but was that for the on the field play though? Was that an on the field attraction or maybe something else?
I was about to get there. It's also ranked first for women between the ages of 12 and 49. I mean, wow, the Swift effect.
Yeah, interesting, wasn't that? I mean, the Bears are not fun to watch. The Chiefs are kind of rounding into shape with Kelce back healthy and Mahomes doing his thing. But clearly, there was a lot of eyeballs on the suites in Arrowhead. There was a lot better quality games being played that day, that wasn't one of them. But it's interesting, you know. We talk a little bit about, you know, what star power can do for, you know, we've talked about Deion and what he's done to college football. I know we'll get to that a little bit later, but also the, here's one of the most popular musical talents, you know, in the world, that writes 90% of her songs about bad relationships, getting into a relationship with a very high profile, you know, athlete, spokesman, and now her current boyfriend, I guess.
Something.
I don't know. We'll see what the song says.
So for those that have been living under a rock, Taylor Swift attended the Chiefs and Bears games to watch Travis Kelce, who apparently there's some sort of relationship happening there. It's brewing. She was sitting in one of the suites with his mother and his team, and the cameras could not get their eyes off him. And as we can see, the viewership is through the roof. That, once again, the NFL's winning on all fronts. I mean, when the NFL's in town, there's nobody else in town. They are an absolute powerhouse and continue to go from strength to strength.
That's for sure. They're certainly playing chess.
Absolutely. And just so you know, just so people know the impact of Taylor Swift being at this game and being announced as Travis Kelce's something, there was a 400% spike in Travis Kelce's jersey sales on Fanatics. Kelce's podcast ranks number one overall on Apple. He had 383 Instagram followers. There was a 63% jump in female viewers between the age of 18 and 49. There was a 3-time increase in Chiefs searches on the web. There was a 3-times increase in Chiefs sales on StubHub. And the Chiefs sold more tickets in a single day since the start of the season. Like, they just went boom, exploded. So this is a lady and a celebrity that you have grown adults who wear nappies so they don't go to the toilet, so they don't miss out on one of her songs at her concerts. I mean, this stuff.
I don't think any of us do that for an NFL football game. We just go ahead and go and pick up a beer on the way back to the seat. I'll watch the replay.
Exactly. So this is the madness here. I mean, we're seeing now everyone really coming to live sport, because live sport is the savior of all programming and TV. And the more these sorts of relationships increase and happen, the more viewership we are going to see from the different markets. Now, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but some would say it's pretty odd. Like, I mean, like the chances of somebody calling out Taylor Swift, somebody who's got 273 million followers on Instagram and 90-something million followers on Twitter, and her responding to Travis Kelce. I mean, he's not Tom Brady. He's just, you know, he's up there. What are the chances of that? There had to be somebody pushing something or nudging or, you know, getting her attention somehow and saying, hey, look at this guy. Come on. Surely she's – the amount of notifications this lady gets would have been absolutely – like it's ginormous. There's got to be more to it.
Well, look, I think if you go back a couple – you know, a month or so ago, I think Travis Kelce made some comment about, you know, taking his shot. He said, why not? You know, why not me? You know, so, you know, and she's a businesswoman these days. She diversify her audience, you know, kind of show the cool girlfriend factor. Cause I don't think anybody, you know, has, you know, anybody else she's dated hasn't certainly been of his athletic stature. Yeah. that we know of. You know, she, it was kind of funny seeing some of the breakdowns that, you know, she's in the booth with his mom. She's not wearing his jersey. She didn't kind of go all in geeky girlfriend. She went, you know, I think she was wearing a jacket or something,
jacket, but yeah.
She seemed pretty engaged in the game. Certainly when he scored, I mean, if you lip read, you saw exactly what she said. You know, she was having a good time. You know, wasn't there like checking her nails and, you know, so, you know, as kind of that girlfriend factor for the regular guy says, so, you know, I guess she seemed to be into it. She wasn't standoffish in any way. She was very, you know, seemed very into it, engaged. And obviously at the end of the, you know, walked right out with Kelce, you know, at the end of the game, hopped in a convertible and off they went and into the Kansas City night. So, you know,
not much happening there, but anyway.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, again, as far as, you know, reading other, you know, we've talked about, you know, the Kardashian you know, effect, and you know how they just they almost don't seem real, and you know that how can you really, you know, is that really a relationship? You know, there's always an agenda there, right? So at some level, Taylor Swift doesn't need any Travis Kelce's help in any way, shape, or form to write her music and sell out stadiums. She's selling out stadiums. She's the highest grossing act right now in all of music. And you've got Beyonce on tour too, by the way. And Taylor Swift is crushing it. Travis Kelce doesn't really need Taylor Swift to make him a better football player or make him relevant, right? He's an all-pro, two Super Bowls, good-looking guy, you know, getting all kinds of marketing deals as a pitch man. You know, some may say that a few of them are, you know, might want to question his agent's recommendations. But at the end of the day, he doesn't need her to become relevant. So at some level, you know, Tom Brady and Giselle didn't need each other to become relevant. You know, at some level, maybe this works. I don't know. She certainly hasn't found the guy. He hasn't found the girl. Hey, I'm all for a star power celebrity relationship that leaves us the next generation of you know, talented, good looking, smart you know, offspring. You know, I'm all for that. So
for sure.
But we know we're going to get a song or two out of this relationship. So that
sure.
is what you know, the Swifties are waiting for, and they're going to 10 years from now or 5 years from now, they might. There might be a song talking about, you know, game day with Mama Kelce, watching him catch a touchdown pass, and they'll go back to that moment and go, "I was there, I was watching." So,
in the meantime, the Swifties will be watching football. So
that's right. They all became Chiefs fans.
Well, Chiefs would be smiling from ear to ear. all right, we'll keep going. Amazon Thursday Night Football viewership on the rise. They're finally working it out. I mean, over the first two game streams on NFL Prime, they're averaging at the moment 14.48 million viewers via Nielsen. That's up 21% from last year's two-game average and 71% from Thursday Night Football's two-game average on NFL Network in 2021. So they're finally, because obviously Prime's got 200 million members, like 200 million subscribers. So the power and distribution is there. It's about getting it right. And, you know, based on what we're seeing, it's finally starting to work.
Yeah, well, and a couple things. You know, one, you know, the football community, you know, has found it, knows where it is. You know, again, you know, obviously switching and new last year, there were a few glitches. You know, at the end of the day, the NFL's done them a great favor, and they've given them some great matchups right out of the gate. I mean, you've gotten some very popular teams, had some decent games. Obviously, you had, you know, your Super Bowl champions kick off, you know, the first night. And, you know, last week you had the, you know, the Niners and Giants. I mean, two, you know, East Coast, West Coast, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, are the Giants coming off a crazy comeback win against the Cardinals, all that kind of, I mean, so you had fan bases ready to go. And so, you know, that, I think it's helpful that you've got some good matchups. I mean, if you're getting, you know, if you had the, you know, the Cardinals versus the Bears, I don't know if you'd see it get a, you know, big following on that night, you know, frankly.
Yeah.
But you're getting good matchups, and that's certainly helpful. But I think, you know, year two, natural bump, year two, you know where to look. You know, the quality of the production is up. And like I said, you're getting entertaining games. You could have great matchups that are duds, but so far we hadn't seen, you know, really sloppy play or, you know, blowouts or anything like that. So that it's been quite compelling on Thursday.
Also, Amazon's really improved their UI UX, which is the experience. They've mm-hmm. really invested in making it look a lot more visual, a lot more easier to navigate. What do you make of this stat? Through the two games, Prime's audience is trending 77 years younger than linear TV networks.
Well, I mean, that's the audience. That's, you know, the younger demo coming, you know, this is who the NFL is marketing to on Thursday night. You know, you and I are still Monday Night Football. We're Sunday ticket. This Thursday night Amazon stream, you know, is, you know, millennial hit. And, you know, so you're going to naturally see a younger audience, and still a school night for the little kids, but you know, they're sneaky enough to have a tablet or a phone in bed to watch the game and check it out. So, you know, it's kind of, you know, these are numbers that I think we, you know, the NFL hoped to get, and they're getting it.
This is why the deal happened, literally.
It's the next generation of the audience.
Exactly.
And when they shift Sunday night over to it, you know, then it's, you know,
That's a pretty big move. All right, we'll keep going. We'll stay in football. XFL, USFL merge has been banging on our screens the last week. I know you've got a few nuggets to share with us. Tell us more.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, that the announcement came down of the merger of the two spring leagues, with you know, XFL taking the lead position with Redbird Capital behind it. And now you're starting to see the, you know, the shifting out of markets, of teams, and so what we're hearing is you're getting you'll see a consolidation. You know, you're not going to see 16 teams. You're going to see probably 12. So that means that there's going to be four markets that, and they didn't say dropped. They just said they'll be furloughed until, you know, till they get ready. Some of them are, you know, like Vegas. You know, some of them have facility issues that still need to be worked out.
Yep.
Houston, you had two teams, so they're not going to have two teams in Houston. They're going to have one. You know, so some of those were natural. You know, and you'll probably see that, you know, one of those Houston teams get moved to a different market, right? And so what we're seeing is that consolidation of the teams, and what that does is that takes the talent pool that was merged by both leagues and now allows that talent pool to be higher for each team, and maybe they expand the rosters a little bit, but the goal there is to increase the level of play and the quality of play by thinning out the talent pool across 16 teams. Let's get it to 12 and let's push it all into one league. We come through one training camp. We've got all that kind of stuff. So what we'll see is, you know, what the plan is that, you know, obviously they'll get through this season and then this merger will take place, you know, for the 24 season, but you'll see a higher level of play. We'll see a higher concentrated, hopefully, audience for these games. You'll see some of that talent pool, truly become, you know, NFL worthy in front of our eyes, so that you won't be as surprised to see a player finish a season there or someone really ball out and be all XFL and see them in a training camp after the season, you know, because obviously the XFL goes into July. So they'll be right into training camp. They won't be in mini camps. But what you'll see is that talent that doesn't get into the XFL, you'll see it migrate. You'll see that talent moving over to the European leagues. And, you know, obviously the NFL has got a strong interest over there by playing games. They're broadcast over there. They've recently announced that each team will have a designated international spot on their rosters for development. So, you know, gives some incentive for the domestic leagues in Europe to develop talent and get it over to the NFL. But you'll see players looking to go overseas now to play in the, you know, the domestic football leagues and in Germany and Austria and Poland and Spain and Italy. And then you have the ELF League, you know, the American League of Football, which just had its, championship this past weekend. Congratulations to the Rhein Fire on their win, undefeated season over the Stuttgart Surge. And what you'll see is hopefully a higher level of talent going over there to play as imports and raising, you know, the level of play in Europe and with the goal of getting back here, because, you know, we kind of see this roundabout of guys getting a chance. You just need to play. You just need to stay active and, possibly, you know, obviously there's always talk about expansion, international expansion. You know, does the NFL put a team in Europe? Does this lead to, an XFL, NFL, taking a more active role in development and talent evaluation and things of that nature in Europe? I think by getting more American talent over there, I think that'll be helpful. We'll see. But, the big thing is you'll see these market consolidations. I think what we'll see is a higher level of play. The ESPN Disney deal was a key component, for that. Fox at the end of the day, I think they started early, or the USFL starts later than the XFL. So now you'll see, just one league, one place to tune in, but more games broadcast and higher level of play and quality of the venue is going to be critical. And I think that's been big part of the selection process. I think probably sponsors said, hey, you know, we want to continue to be partners, but we want to see a higher level of content coming out of here. And at some level, some people are saying like the college game was more enjoyable to watch, you know, than some of the lower level spring league play. And, advertisers are going to rule and the viewer watched good games. I mean, St. Louis was a city that put 34,000, 35,000 people in for all their home games. You want markets, you know, that enthusiastic behind it. So, I think strategically we'll see, that be big part of the decision. They're still obviously going through, but they've announced kind of some of the markets that are definitely staying, like a St. Louis and Houston and Canton, Ohio, will be still very much involved.
So we're finally getting a premium spring football league.
That's the goal. I mean, and in order to do that, you can't have a watered down product, and you can't have, you know, 18 teams and two leagues and all that kind of stuff. You just need to consolidate it and make sure that your 60-man roster or your 54-man roster or whatever it is 54 players that theoretically are vying for an opportunity, a shot at the NFL. This is their next shot.
And this season starts in February, right?
This year you'll see XFL start in February and USFL starts in April. So, you know, February to June is the timing.
So that's February, March, April, May. So about 5 months. And then there's a huge gap between the end and the start of the season. Are we likely to see these players go and fill that gap elsewhere, in your opinion, or do you think they'll be sticking around?
Well, I mean, I think the goal is after this season is that those players that are playing in the spring league, you know, their goal is to get into NFL camps, you know, and obviously you've got college players coming out into NFL camps as well. So you're going to see the competition to get into the NFL camp now, because essentially playing in the spring league is, it's like getting a postgraduate year in high school. You know, you go and just to refine yourself or to get more reps, or maybe you're at a college and you had a late season injury and eligibility's up and you got to go prove it, got to go show somebody. So, I think that's one of the things that you'll see with that league. And obviously with the goal is to get into an NFL camp. Maybe if someone doesn't get an NFL camp, you could see them signing with going over and playing in Europe, you know, playing in another league, you know, theoretically, to say, hey, maybe I didn't get enough reps to show somebody in the XFL. So I'm going to go over and play an ELF. And they're, you know, you've got American coaches with college backgrounds, program backgrounds, et cetera, that are coaching those teams over there now. And they want a certain level of player, and the fans over there, you know, are paying top dollar to watch NFL play. You know, if the ELF and the domestic leagues are going to continue to grow and thrive, you know, you've got to elevate your product too. So, you know, that's, I think it's kind of one of the things that you'll see, you know, maybe someone that didn't get a bunch of run in the XFL may go over there and kind of to keep playing, you know, to get more film, if you will. And the beautiful thing is over there that still can wrap up, you know, in the summertime, or can wrap up in enough time to where that player gets picked up by an XFL team again, signed, you know, and they can continue their career. Or maybe you're a kicker, or maybe you're a skill position guy that sneaks onto an NFL roster that loses a player, and there's not a, you know, there's a relationship there, and you've got some, like you said, you got some film, you know, and obviously the NFL has got scouts over there looking for talent. So, you can get discovered in a lot of places now. So I think, you know, as the talent pool continues to expand and grow, you know, the game is becoming much more global now.
Does this consolidation really up the game for advertisers, because now they don't have to fight between the two leagues? If we go back to some of our earlier episodes, we discussed the numbers, the averages for the XFL were about 600,000 to 700,000 viewers per week, and the USFL was doing similar numbers. So now that consolidation brings you 1 million+ viewers every week on these games. How much more attractive is that for advertisers?
Well, you know, a couple of things. One, you know, it gives you know, obviously a little bit more pop to the value for the advertiser. But what it also does is, you know, it allows them to, you know, sponsor one as opposed to sponsoring two, to be able to focus your message is consistent. You know, you're not getting an XFL versus a USFL message. From an advertiser, it's if spring football is a focus that you want that and football is a focus and you want to do a spring football or year round platform, then it gives you the opportunity to be a little bit more efficient with your dollars. And also from a property standpoint, gives you a chance to stand on your rates a little bit more than what you could before. The assumption is that we'll get more viewer, you know, less games, more viewers, in one location. What may have been a $25,000 30-second spot could easily jump to 30 grand or, you know, 40 grand and hold the value, so to speak, given the increase in viewership, but more importantly, the quality of play, and the ability to kind of maybe take some marketing dollars that were now split between two leagues to focus it on one league and then maybe take some money and diversify it into some other markets or put it into activation, which is, you know, always a key component that sometimes gets left behind in all partnership deals.
Really, really interesting, because I can see now a lot more dollars going to the one source, and you can do so much more in terms of growth and development and all these activations, because now your audience is in one place instead of half here and half there. So it was a big problem in my opinion. Absolutely. All right, we'll keep going. Staying in football now, we make our way to college football. The Colorado Dream Run comes to an end. The Oregon Ducks spoiled the dream and became a nightmare. Comprehensive win, massive victory. Before we get into the game itself, let's talk a bit about the numbers around the game. Okay, so if we look back to the initial signing and the conversations around the signing of Sanders, was that the University of Colorado or Colorado University did not have the money. They had $1 million from the $28.5 million or $29 million promised. So in the 3 weeks since Sanders has started the official season, he's generated more than $45 million in earned media for Colorado. This is according to Apex Marketing. The Oregon and Colorado game drew 10.4 million viewers. It's the most watched college football game of the season on ESPN and ABC. It was the most watched Pac-12 intra-conference game since 2006. There was a better game on that weekend, which we'll get to later, that normally everybody would be talking about, but you had ESPN pushing this game and everybody just talking about what's going to happen. Sanders, 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 Colorado, Colorado, Colorado. So it's fascinating what this guy has done. I mean, if you look at the impact he's had on this university, on this program, and the media dollars they have attracted in the first, and if you look at the advertising revenue, they believe,
well,
there was some crazy figure. Yeah, go on.
Oh no, I was just saying that the Dion effect is, you know, has brought eyeballs. It's raised other coaches' games, because he forces you to coach your team, and he's coming in well coached. Obviously they took a loss this week, but what it hasn't done is it hasn't dimmed the light on the things you said, you know, the guts that it took to hire him, the delivery of what he's delivered, both financially for the city, for the school. I don't know if you mentioned that the team, all the home games are sold out for Colorado football, for the first time in God knows how long. You're now seeing some of his players are showing up in some of the marketing deals that he has, for him. I think he had a coach and a different player, not one of his sons, involved in one of his Almond deals. So you're seeing him having the impact at all the levels, from with alumni, with viewers, with college football in general, with his athletes, with his staff, and obviously with his administration. They look like geniuses, right? You know, because there's a lot of people that had a chance, you know, with, you know, higher profile programs that had the opportunity to talk to Coach Prime and see if they were, you know, if he was a good fit for their program. And, you know, Colorado just, you know, just moved. You know, they said, I got to make this happen. And again, I think I talked a couple episodes ago, you know, tip of the cap to Rick George for, you know, having the cojones to do it, you know, to get with his administration and say, we've had 10 years of just not good and that's not acceptable. And we've got to do something and we've got to take a, we got to swing for the fences. And this guy is, he's that person. So, and it, look, it could have flopped, but I mean, you know, Coach Prime, the player was always, you know, must see TV, whether it was college, whether it was with it, with the Falcons, when he played with the Niners and the Cowboys, you know, two sport Dion, it was always must see TV. And obviously, you know, he was a broadcaster and he's been and he got into coaching, you know, with coaching his kids. And then obviously he took it to a next level when he, you know, wanted to coach, you know, in the college game and the HBCUs, and he raised the profile there. And he's just taking the next step and going, all right, now it's Power Five football time, which, you know, I don't think Dion goes up to the pro level because I don't think what he wants to accomplish gets accomplished at that level. I think he wants to impact lives and, you know, be able to help mold young men. And, you know, he's having the opportunity to do that right now. And, you know, wins and losses are going to come and go. I mean, obviously they got a tough game this weekend and the college universe is returning to Boulder for the fourth time this year. They're having, the game day shows in Boulder. They got a marquee matchup with, you know, with USC coming in.
Big game.
It's going to be huge. It's going to be the atmosphere is going to be electric again. You know, so it'll be wild. You've got a lot of great stories. And I know, you know, like I said, there were some other fantastic games played last weekend with Clemson and Florida State going in overtime. You've got, you had a much more competitive, USC ASU game, you know, that, that came out, obviously, you know, Ole Miss and Alabama. Texas with a big win. I mean, you had all these games that were going on, and this is still the one, even 35-0 at halftime. People were still tuned in because you know what? There was a lot of people that were like, oh, this is just Prime just rewriting a script. You know, was he going to come back with 35 and tie this thing up and go to over? No, it really wasn't going to happen that day, but you were still watching it 45-6 because you didn't know what was going to happen. Obviously, there was a lot of, you saw the pregame speeches. You saw the team walking on the field and, quote, stepping on the O. I mean, you know, I don't think anybody crowded and kind of stepped on the O. But, you know, you manufacture whatever motivation you need, and that's quite all right.
Absolutely.
This week will be no different, and I'm pretty sure that SC is going to walk on that field, and they may walk across the sea at midfield, and someone's going to go, oh, they disrespected us. All right, well, let's go. It'll be fun theater, and you know, let's do it again.
Those Colorado hotels and businesses would be absolutely loving it. So it's awesome. One stat that really caught my mind is in the last 3 weeks, a quarter of ESPN's social media engagement has come from Colorado content. So like we're talking about ESPN here, millions of followers. Just another one of these mind-boggling stats that continue to surprise us week after week. The other game that was on was Ohio State and Notre Dame. That was a blockbuster. It was a ripper game, finished in fairy tale fashion for one. On the other team was a nightmare. Crazy game. What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it was just a hard fought slobber knocker kind of game, right? You know, that two high profile teams, you know, national TV audience, and it came down to a play. Very familiar to, you know, probably one of the most watched Notre Dame games in 2005 when the undefeated Irish or where the one loss Irish, you know, had the two-time defending champ Trojans on the ropes. I was there sitting at the 50-yard line watching Matt Leinart push Reggie Bush into the end zone with no time on the clock.
Wow.
And, you know, that you had a very similar kind of ending with, you know, Ohio State on the 1 yard line with seconds to go and Notre Dame with 10 players on the field on their final play.
Yeah, that was pretty interesting. I mean,
yeah. And, you know, that happens. And, you know, it would just imagine the story if they had stopped him, it would have been some story about Rudy or a leprechaun or, you know, somebody, you know, the Gipper was the 11th man on the field making the play.
Would have been a good story.
Oh, it would have been a fantastic story. They would have made another movie about it, right? But, again, you know, high quality, you know, play, you know, great game. Game day was there, you know, obviously for the game. So there was a lot of hype and buzz. So, you know, again, you know, what this is what makes college football great is these matchups being played. Not directional schools, not, you know, I mean, it's the big boys playing each other early on in the season. You know, obviously national title implications in the mix, you know, and this is not a bad loss for Notre Dame. It's a great win for Ohio State. Notre Dame then turns around and has to go on the road and play an undefeated Duke team, which now has game day in Durham, North Carolina for the first time.
I see you tweeted
They've got an opportunity to come back from this. I mean, Ohio State, you know, pressure's on now. You know, you haven't beat Michigan in 2 years, you know, and now you know, I mean, it just doesn't end. So every week we can get games like this. This is great. I mean, this is great theater. And part of and the, you know, and obviously this is a byproduct of guys staying or guys moving. So, you know, you know, the talent is finding its way to some of these schools. Obviously, Notre Dame isn't in that game if Sam Hartman's not their coach, or excuse me, not their quarterback. You know, it just allows them to do things that they couldn't do last year. You know, their starting quarterback was quarterback in ASU against, you know, SC, and, you know, doing his damnedest against, you know, being outmanned. But, you know, Drew Pine, you know, or Tyler Buchner, you know, playing that game, Ohio State probably wins it by a couple scores, but, you know, Sam Hartman kind of shifts the balance a little bit. And you get an instant classic, you know, I mean, a true instant classic that Absolutely. People are probably still watching today.
Some of the numbers, NBC's second largest regular season audience ever, averaging 10.5 million viewers, peaking at 14.2 million. Big numbers, massive numbers. Cheapest ticket, single ticket, was $880. Are we watching Floyd Mayweather here, or watching college football?
You know, look, these heavyweight battles are going to draw the eyeballs.
Unbelievable.
Because again, it's what we want to watch as fans. I mean, you know, ultimately, you know, the year the SEC played everybody in the SEC, that was, you know, there was no off week, right? You saw the best playing the best, and, you know, AC, you know, a lot of the schools kind of did that. You saw every week was a blockbuster game. You know, and to get, you know, a Notre Dame Ohio State game where they're both at a high level is great. You know, when, you know, SC Notre Dame, or, you know, SC playing Oregon, and, you know, just some of those, you know, when teams are good, and when and some of these teams are great, and someone's going to have to lose. Someone's going to lose. And, you know, that was one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of valor in defeat of that game because it was such a great game. It's kind of sucks to lose on the last play of the game. I mean, and that was just a manhood play, you know, 1 yard play. I mean, we're not putting this ball in the air. If we can't get this in at the 1 yard line, you know, we don't deserve to win, and you should celebrate. If we put it in, this is what we're supposed to do. And, you know, you fought a valiant fight, but,
bit of ego.
A little bit of ego. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, football's all about that. It's about 100%. Dominance, and especially the line of scrimmage. And you live, and you as a offensive line coach or offensive coordinator, if you don't got a 1 yard play that you can run at the goal line when you need it, got to rethink your offense.
Start asking some questions.
Start asking some questions.
Start asking some questions. All right, we'll keep going to a different football. So this is a really interesting one. Miami, where the GOAT has moved recently, and we've covered his movement a lot on this, obviously, pretty comprehensively on this podcast. It's becoming a global soccer hub. We have the Argentinian FA, Football Association, is building an official training facility near Miami Beach. We have FIFA moving 100 employees from Switzerland to a new office in South Florida. We have the world club, gone blank. The two tournaments that are coming to the States. We talk about.
Yeah, we got Copa America coming. Got World Cup coming, and World Cup, obviously Formula One go there.
And so World Cup and World Club Championship is happening in America.
Yeah,
it's almost like Europe's or FIFA's finally identified the biggest market in the world is the US.
Yeah, well, we talked about this. You know, we talked about whenever the U.S. marketplace kind of got their soccer act together, that if and given the financial strength of the marketplace, that there is no better place to hold a World Cup. They still, the 1994 World Cup in the U.S. is still the number one ticket sales of any World Cup. It's gonna be surpassed in 2026 without a doubt.
For sure.
But now you've with Messi coming over, and obviously the success of our women's team, and obviously all the buzz around MLS, and frankly, all of the summer tours that bringing some of the top names over here, the International Champions Cup and just summer friendlies with the Real Madrids and the FC Barcelonas of the world coming over here to play and fill stadiums. And
the Wrexhams.
The Wrexhams, and the Watfords that want to come over. Bringing the brand over here, the quality of play. Again, much like what the NFL is doing in bringing their product to Europe and saying, this is what football looks like. They brought soccer, football over here and said, this is what it's supposed to look like, guys. When you've got, Ronaldo playing with Messi and playing with, Neymar and playing with, Sergio. And now we're kind of getting our own little taste of that with what Miami's doing. Obviously, we brought Beckham over here. We brought Ibra over here. We brought talented players over. Now we're starting to see what it looks like when players come over together and play on teams together and create that same level of play that we're used to getting up early on a Sunday or a Saturday morning to watch, in the EPL or La Liga. Now we can see that happening, in Miami and in St. Louis and in, Los Angeles and in Minnesota and in New York and in Austin, Texas, That has now made the American advertiser go, this soccer thing is going to be pretty big. And guess where the rest of the world is starting to, starting to notice, there's a lot of players, the Saudis are putting up money, but we're already hearing that Neymar's already planning his return to Santos. So
with all due respect, that's only a matter of time before things implode there. So,
but to your point, the American soccer community has awakened. The American marketing community is now engaged.
That's the strength
we have the biggest tournament in the world after 30 years finally coming back. Which is a whole different travesty of why it's taken that long, but it's coming back, and now we're the rest of the world is going like shit. We might have lost our hold on being the biggest soccer markets because if given a choice, there's some fantastic markets to play in Serie A, Bundesliga, whatever. But
it's going to happen because because the Americans are buying up all the teams. So.
Well, yeah, and that's a whole that's obviously another byproduct of you know, do you want to buy a, you know, 400, 500 million for an MLS team, or do you want to, you know, go over and get into the Premiership and buy a team over there for you know, a couple hundred million pounds and then watch it rise up to, you know, Liverpool and sell it for 4 billion.
Yeah.
Got a lot more upside over there.
Sign deals with Netflix and Amazon and all the American brands and help them expand into Europe. And
maybe you and I should do that since we're now, you know, internet stars, right?
Yeah, we're killing it.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, bright days ahead for football in America. The strategic location, South America being around the corner, one of the biggest markets of football, that's really untapped. It's the opportunity now for America to use that talent and make it theirs in their leagues. It's just about having the right people, the right personnel out there and bringing that talent into the States and have the academies in place and have the infrastructure in place to nurture that talent and move them into their MLS teams before they go to Europe, because that's what's happening. That talent gets identified early in South America and then it's moved straight into the European academies. Now, if you flip that around and instead of going all the way to Europe, just go next door to America, the biggest market in the world, 350 million people, the biggest marketing campaigns in the world, biggest companies, most money, like their lifestyle is, you know, is amazing in most states. It's a no-brainer. It really is.
Yeah.
So it's just execution, vision, yeah. So once that starts happening, there's in 10 to 15 years, America can be the football king of the world, because naturally Europeans will start following too, because who doesn't want to come to America, right? So I mean, we'll hopefully be here to cover all the way through and participate in some way.
Yeah, we're watching,
and hopefully end up with a team or two. But anyway, we'll keep you updated. Once again, thank you very much, Rob. We come to an end, another episode. Lots to chat about, and I'm sure on our next one, from now until our next one, there'll be lots more. Would you like to leave us with some parting words?
Again, just, you know, the sports world never disappoints. We've got a you know, we've got another fantastic week, college football. We've got, you know, other more great matchups, you know, in the NFL. You know, I'm keeping our eye on
some boxing.
We got some boxing coming up.
Canelo,
you
know, some Canelo happening. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, we'll have some fun things to talk about, maybe to, you know, to shake it up a little bit, diversify, and let's see what happens here in the coming weeks. But you know, I'm hopeful that when I see you next week, I'm gloating about my still undefeated Duke Blue Devils. So following the game day host. So should be fun. You know, certainly a tall task playing Notre Dame. We'll look forward to another great week ahead of us.
Hopefully your quarterback done his assignment this time before the game.
That's right. Get his homework done, so he doesn't have to ask for an extension and be denied on national TV. And I will actually be in North Carolina this weekend, but not at that game, as I will be in Charlotte for my son's soccer game. So hopefully we see wins all around for the alma mater and for my son. So you know, big games this weekend all around.
All right, everyone. Thank you very much for tuning in. We'll catch you all next week. Take care, everyone.
Take care.